First off, I'll come a bit nearer. I was an Anglican vicar. I'm used to people not sitting on the front few rows, so I'm feeling already at home. So I like to come a bit nearer. And Dave mentioned meeting with Lisa. Lisa playing the, grandchildren playing the table tennis. And that was, as Dave said, not a chance meeting. I believe very strongly in the sovereignty of God, that God orders his work and brings people together. And when I heard that there are 13 plus folk here who take notes during the sermon, so if you're 13 plus, well, that includes the adults as well. If you're 13 plus, you're included. I thought, how wonderful is that? So I'm going to, just to tell you, I came down to Devon, a place called Tiverton, where I was preaching, and the pastor, Patrick Barkey's called, was from, came up to Barnsley, where I was, my first parish, in 1992, and worked with us 2 years, and so I was over in America at Nashville, Nebraska first, then Nashville, doing some Christian ministry, and I did a podcast on the subject that I'm speaking about today, about really hope in suffering, and that podcast went out to 30 countries, including China and Devon. So he listened to the podcast, got in touch with me. I was coming down to my daughter, Abby, and son-in-law, Ben, who's the associate vicar at St. John's Yeovil, my three lovely grand sons, who are Reuben, who's 12, so he's almost in the 13-plus category, Fred, who's 9, and Theo, who's 7. And when I stayed in his house with his lovely family, they gave me a mug which said on it, it had a danger sign, and it said, "May start speaking about Jesus." So I have this reputation wherever I go to speak about Jesus, whether on planes, trains, wherever, whatever opportunity I get. And I give out these little tracts, which I think I gave one to Lisa. I've updated it for this year. The title on it, again, fits in with our theme is Don't Quit. Don't quit on life when it gets tough. So I'm going to just pray, and then I'm going to read from Scripture, and then see where we go from there. See how the Lord leads us. And just before I do pray, just as I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit here, it was lovely to hear the Trinity, magnificent Trinity. That's a great thing to hold on to, Father, Son, and Spirit. And thank you for the invitation to come, and we just rely now on God to speak through his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that we might read Mark, learn, and inwardly digest it so that our lives might be transformed. Whatever we're going through, whether happy or sad times, more into the image of your Son, Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So, if you've got a Bible, whether it's on your tablet or whether it's old-fashioned in paper, just while you're turning up the chapter, which is Romans chapter 5, I always like to hear the rustling of pages, but of course people have that technology and they have the Bible on that. But it's no good going through the Bible. I do that, I've done it for about, about 30 years, from Genesis through to Revelation every year. If I get through Leviticus, I manage to get through the whole Bible. I actually know a pastor who started a church by preaching through Leviticus. I'd love to ask him how he did it, apart from the obvious work of the Holy Spirit. So just to say that I brought a book. It's hot off the press, as they say, literally. I had to go over to Wales. I'm in Morecambe in Lancashire to get a few copies of these to take down to this little informal tour I'm doing. And it's called 18 Weeks in a Fight for Life. It's got a picture of my lovely wife, Gloria, on the front. And I'll be at the back if you want to buy one. They're £10 each. And all the proceeds are going to the peritoneal unit at Basingstoke Hospital. And I was there on Friday launching the book, and we had a wonderful time. We lovely, wonderful conversations with local church people. There were a conference of 200 nurses providentially there, and I spoke to many of them. Quite a few of them bought books. And so I've written this with mission in mind. Everything I do, I have mission in mind, which ties in with what we were hearing earlier. And can I just say, again, the lovely, gentle, and clear and biblical way the worship was led, which prepares us then, rather like a scaffolding for the preaching of the word. So, those things said, I've got a card reader, by the way. If you haven't got cash, I can also do card, which I've newly acquired. So the title, if you are taking notes, I'm just looking around to see who is. I'm a cheeky sort of chappy. I've got three young grandsons, so I have to keep on the ball with them. The title is Preparing, and I added a little bit this morning, Preparing for and Flourishing in, you might not expect the next word, Suffering. So, Preparing for and Flourishing in Suffering. And how do we do that? By a rock-solid confidence in, you might wonder what's coming next, maybe not, Jesus. I used to be a schools worker. I went into lots of schools in Lancaster for 5 years, connected with a Bible school called Cape and Ray, where I met my lovely wife, and I love telling people about Jesus, and particularly young people, but we're all young at heart. I still play football occasionally. I run around. If I get the opportunity to preach, I'll do just about anything. And I'm now coming up to 70 this year, and I was playing football and speaking at the end of a service to these 20-year-olds. And I was given advice by the small Connect group. I've left the Church of England, even though I preach in it still, about six churches in the Morecambe, Lancaster area. But I go to a Free Methodist church where they stand on the Bible and lovely worship and welcome like you've got here. So I was invited to speak on this all-weather pitch, and it was tossing down with rain. I thought the guy would cancel it, but he's like me. He's foolish. He'll do anything for the gospel. Well, that's the foolishness of the world, isn't it? And somebody in my Connect group said, Steve, you're coming up to 70. You've got to look after yourself. Don't do it. Go and be the ball boy. And throw the balls, go over the fence, collect the balls. And I thought, no way I'm doing that. And then when I got there, well, my personal coach, I do a three-month personal coaching. He's a former Royal Marine Commando, so you don't mess with him. I came back from a holiday, and I've been doing some in the hotel. I've been doing some in the gym, and he said, you are now, he's not a Christian yet, he said, you are now my disciple. So I said to him, he's called Richard, if I'm your disciple, you become my disciple as I follow Jesus, follow me. So I played the game. I didn't score, but I nearly scored. I made a few goals. I remembered in my head that I'm still nearly 70, but I had a wonderful time, and at the end, the Lord really spoke through my weakness. And that has been a recurring theme, particularly through the last 2.5 years, going from 3 years, if you like, from 2021 to 2023, where Gloria, first of all, fell and broke her shoulder in four places while she was out walking during the pandemic. A man was going by, and he pulled her to her feet by a broken shoulder and then left her. I got the phone call at the vicarage. I thought it was a child, and it was my wife Gloria realized it was pinned in places. 2 weeks later, she had appendicitis. 2 months later, she was diagnosed with bowel cancer. We weren't really happy with the local hospital. We got referred to Newcastle. It traveled around the lymph system to the heart, the aorta, and a lovely guy in Newcastle said, I'm a trauma surgeon as well as a cancer one. He says, if anyone's shot or stabbed in Newcastle, and I believe there are a number of people that happens to, he said, they call for me. Gloria, you've got this cancer, the worst place to get to, but I can do it. And when he opened her up, instead of two bits of cancer, he found 12. And we're both good at reading the room. I'm a vicar. She was a midwife. And so we both thought, they're thinking this is the end of the road. But my wife was a tough cookie. If you read the book, you'll see that. She kept coming back. And Mr. Gallagher said, you've proved your survivorship. And so, just to make sure, he said, let's have a PET scan. And those of us who are older, if we get older, we tend to get more into this world of hospitals and appointments and treatment. The PET scan revealed a tiny bit of cancer in the peritoneum, which is the lining of the stomach. And so on the 6th of June, 2 years ago, 2023, we went down after 2 years of brutal chemotherapy, full of hope, down to Basingstoke Hospital, which has the best treatment, best results for this sort of cancer in the whole of Europe. People come from Malta, all over the place. We should have been there just 3 weeks and then returned home. But sadly, the surgeon made a mistake. They're human. He didn't realize that he damaged the small bowel. And so for 17 weeks, Gloria didn't eat and just had a food bag and water. She couldn't even have ice cream. You can imagine how horrifying that was to witness. I was in the free accommodation in the hospital right through that. But what we found was that God met us in the horror of it all. And a little phrase you'll read in the book is, we felt the weakest as human beings, but the strongest as Christians. And so all that Christian teaching, all that discipleship, all the trials that we've been through previously, and there are many, this was the greatest test to our faith when we had that. And particularly to my faith, when after 17 weeks and all that horror and all that struggle and all that prayer, Gloria died the 18th week, hence the title of the book, 18 Weeks in the Fight for Life. Now, they say that there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. Again, as you get older, looking around the room, people are smiling, maybe particularly at the taxes bit. But I want to suggest to you a third that is it's eternal. It isn't just on the earth. Russell Crowe, the actor in Gladiator, if you know the film, it's one of my favorites. He says, what we do in life echoes in eternity. And that's true, isn't it? We know that as Christians. What we do in life echoes in eternity. So I want to suggest to you that the third and greatest reality is that rock-solid confidence in Christ that echoes in eternity, that will take us to eternity if we are in Christ. So my first point is, and Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. But actually when I was 11, my younger brother, who was 18 months old, Malcolm, died suddenly. And roughly about the same time, one of my grannies also died. And I thought, at that point, if there is a God, he is either callous, cruel, or he's powerless. And 7 or 8 years later, at the age of 19, I became a Christian. When Christ met me in my need and literally walked off the pages of Scripture. And for 50 years, that was my tract I think I gave you, wasn't it? 50 years a Christian. 50 years a Christian, I've known Christ. And therefore, I've developed this sense of his rock-solid ability to preserve me and keep me. So my first point is, it'll get quicker after this. If trouble is a fact of life, prepare for it. So if you're in the 13-plus category, which all of us are, but maybe a bit younger than that, hopefully you haven't suffered the sort of suffering that I've just explained, but you will, or you will know people who suffer in that way. Suffering is a part of life. And so we need to prepare and for and flourish in as we trust in Christ and have our confidence in him. I have a little journal thing that Johnny Erickson Tada wrote. You may know her story. She was 17. She dived into a shallow water. She was riding. What else was she doing? She had a very full life. Her parents had been Olympic, I think, athletes. She was very athletic. She was a loving life. And she became a quadriplegic. And she's been a quadriplegic for 50 years. And she said this: God is more interested in our souls than he is in our bodies. Our bodies are important, but our souls are vitally important. Russell Crowe was right. What we do in life echoes in eternity. So if you're not yet a Christian, give your life to Christ. He is the rock solid reality and truth of being a human being. It won't mean that you will escape suffering, but it will mean that you get to heaven. So I'm going to share with you three blessings from Romans 5, which I'm going to read to you now, which I said about 10 minutes ago I was going to read it. Notice it begins with therefore. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. And you can read on in that passage as to how that all works out, and how it's based, that trust is based on the fact that God gave his only son. And Paul is arguing, if God gave his only son, that's how much he loves us. And we can entirely trust in that work of God. And then one of my little sayings as I went round four different dioceses was about context. A text without a context is a pretext. So when you're listening to preaching, and I think you have a good number of preachers, make sure they're giving you the context of the passage. So here the context. People think of Romans as a bit of a dusty tome. It's actually an evangelistic tract like mine. It starts with Paul talking about mission, and he outlines that people are lost without God in chapter 1. God's wrath is actually coming on the world because of sin. Chapter 2, people who don't trust God and receive his mercy and forgiveness are facing judgment. And then chapter 2, he talks about, later in chapter 2, the Jews. And in verse 17, he says, now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God. Now, it's interesting, that verse, because in the Greek, and it's translated brag here, it also means rejoice. Interesting, when we're thinking about rejoicing and suffering. So there's two ways to live your life. There was an Australian Anglican who brought up, called Phil Jensen, a tract called Two Ways to Live. I used this over in Malta on holiday with Gloria, and it outlines the gospel in six little boxes. I can't draw to save my life. My wife is a really good artist. But the six boxes go from creation through to fall, through to redemption, through to regeneration. And I was going through these with suitable verses with a couple, and I was drawing it out on a serviette. And I had a great time. At the end, a pastor who was listening in the hotel just near us, in the restaurant, came over and he said, this is fantastic, listening to what you've done. That's brilliant. You know, you're on holiday, but you're sharing about Jesus. And I was so elated, so encouraged. Went in the lift with my wife, and she said, on the way up to our room, Steve. I said, yes. She said, do you think you could be on holiday when you're on holiday? And I know what she means. I'm just enthusiastic about Jesus. I want to tell everybody about him. It's so urgent. But notice that word in Romans 5, Paul begins with therefore. And so it's about all that's gone so far, and it's linked to what's coming up, because we'll discover that being justified in Christ, which is one of the blessings, Paul in Romans 8, which is a wonderful passage, great mentor of mine, memorized the whole of Romans 8. So can I challenge all of us to memorize Scripture? It's fallen into disrepute or decline. It's a great way, particularly when you're suffering, to have Scripture in your mind. And he memorized the whole of Romans 8. Maybe I'll do that. I think it was in his 80s when he did that. So here are the three blessings. Oh, in Romans 8, it says we are justified. It also then says we will be glorified. So it's a done deal. If you're in Christ, and it's a reality, if Christ has really come into your life, then you have these blessings and you're looking forward to eternity. And my first book that I wrote, I've written, I'm on my fifth now, it was Heaven in Your Eye, Earth on Your Heart. So having that heaven focus means you'll be deeply concerned about the earth, particularly about those who are going to be lost without Jesus and have a passion for mission. So quickly, three blessings from Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. First of all, we are justified by faith. Justification by faith was a great truth that Martin Luther discovered that sparked the Reformation. The church needs dragging back into the Bible every generation. It's the same today. And so he discovered this great truth that we are not saved. He was a monk who tried to save himself by good works and by prayer and by all sorts of things. And then he suddenly discovered Romans chapter 3, where it says this, "But now righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." Isn't that fantastic? This is a purple passage, I think, in Romans chapter 3, but we're in Romans chapter 5. So the first thing Paul says is, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, it is a wonderful thing, and I'm sure you know this, sounds like you're a well-taught church, that justification is about a declaration by God. It's a legal term, that you have been forgiven your sins and that he will not hold them against you. And therefore, you are not facing the wrath and judgment of God. Second blessing is peace with God. June the 6th, I especially chose to come back to Basingstoke Hospital because it was exactly 2 years to that day when Gloria and I went down to, and I'm a history buff as well. I've just been to Normandy. I go each year. Well, I have the last couple of years to the Normandy beaches. And there's just recently been the anniversary of 80 years of victory in Europe. I must say, when I was in Normandy, they didn't seem to know that because it was over the time I was there. And not a great big celebration. And perhaps you're a young person, my grandson, Reuben said he'd like to go with me to Normandy. So last year I took him, and his dad, Ben, jumped in on it, and his dad, John, jumped in it. And when we were at the passport place at the pool, ready to go over to Cherbourg for the beaches, this lady who was doing the passports looked into the car, saw four guys, and said, "Have you four guys got permission from your wives to leave the country?" And so I reached for my pocket. I said, "I've got a note in my pocket, a letter, you know, permission if you want to see it." So the reason I'm saying all this is that at the end of that, in 1945, having had from May through 1939 to 1945, 6 years of grueling stuff, they had blackout curtains. So I got here to blacken out for, you know, showing stuff. Imagine what the feeling when the blackout curtains were finally taken down. Well, if you're justified by faith in Christ, you have peace with God. The war is over. The blackout curtains have been taken down. And God no longer sees you as an enemy, but as a child, as a friend. You have peace with God. Third blessing, standing in grace. I mentioned I had the benefit of going to Nebraska She's very flat. It's called the Flyover State. I was helping in a church there. Then I went 700 miles down to Nashville, the music state, you know, all that country western. It was the Gettys, if you're into Christian music, who produced In Christ Alone and other really good stuff. So, and of course, if I, Standing in Grace is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But I also want to emphasize this as I talk about the doctrine, the teaching of the Bible, which is really important, but it needs to be doctrine that is rooted in life and authentic. It also needs to be on fire. I think Martin Lloyd-Jones said that. Doctrine on fire. You can get his sermons, by the way. You can get an app and listen to his very good sermons. I'm doing that while I row each morning in my... I can tell you a story about that, but we haven't got time. So Standing in Grace. We're standing, well, you're sitting, but you were standing, some of you, in East Coker. Beautiful place. Lovely area, this. I'm really enjoying being here. I'm here for another week. But if you're in Christ, you stand in grace all the time. You're in grace. If we'd had another child, we got two. Two is enough, to be honest. One for each hand. If we'd had another child, we would have called her Grace. And I'm sure you know this little way of remembering grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Standing in grace. Receiving all that we need, the Bible says in 1 Peter. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. But we also need to learn how to lament. Psalm 77, I cried out to you for help. I cried out to God to hear me when I was in distress. I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out my untiring hands and my soul refused to be comforted. I know what that's like, and I'm sure most of the people here, if you're the sort of age that I am, which is called ancient, but apparently 70 is now the new 50, and I believe it, of course I do, but you'll know what it is to be in distress, to be crying out to God, and at night is particularly the time when we go through these things. So lamenting, what is lamenting? Very briefly, holding the anguish, the pain, the questions, the anger in one hand, and then holding on to that deep confidence in Christ that we are standing in grace, that we are justified by faith, that we have peace with God, that nothing, as Romans 8 tells us, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So applying these three truths, I've got three questions for you. Remember my title, Preparing for Suffering and Flourishing in Suffering by Rock Solid Confidence in Jesus. How's your confidence this morning? Emotionally, we're emotional beings. It's right that we are. I cry a lot. I belong to a little connect group I meet every Tuesday. And some of the older ladies in it, I'll say to them, they'll ask me how my week's been. And I'll say, I've had a really tough week. I've been crying a lot. And they said, keep crying. And give me a great big hug as well, which is really helpful. I used to think, I'm from a mining background, that men, grown men, don't cry in public. Then I read John's Gospel, where it says, Jesus wept. And so I try to control myself to preach, obviously, but I had a good cry this morning. Where are you? Well, Romans 5, verse 2, again, you could say, I'm in East Coker, of course you are, but you stand in grace. That's where you are. You stand in grace. And that's what Paul says here, that we stand through the grace of God in grace, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Second question. Where are you going? And there could be multiple answers to that question, but I'm asking the fundamental question, where are you going in life? What is your aim and destination? Paul's destination and aim is, from Romans 5 verse 2b, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. being in Nashville, they have a wonderful way of pronouncing the glory of God. I'm not very good. My wife was very good at mimicking. But I'll have a go. The glory of the Lord. That's how they say it down there in the south of America. The glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord simply means His beauty, as we've been singing about. His holiness, which we've been singing about. The fact that He is Father, Son, and Spirit, that we've been singing about. I had a really wonderful time of witnessing to a bank manager, of all people. I went when I was in Yeovil for the first 4 weeks. I took 4 weeks. I usually do two, lots of two now. After Gloria died in the October, I went to stay with my grandsons, and they loved me to bits. You know, love you, Grandad. It was fantastic therapy. But I went into the local bank to change the bank account from being joint to single, which would have taken about 5 minutes. And I just realized after a while, talking to this guy called Andrew, that he was the bank manager. And after about 15 minutes, I said to him, Andrew, you're a bank manager. Can you afford this time? Because we're talking about Jesus, of course, about salvation. He wasn't a Christian. And so I spent 45 minutes with him because he said, I don't get opportunity to have talks like this. And I recommended to him what I recommended to the relatives in the Basingstoke Hospital after the 2 weeks, you know, turned into 5 months. I'd say to them, do me a favor, do two things. Read through a gospel. I read through John's gospel and Jesus walked off its pages. And secondly, listen to Professor John Lennox, who's an Oxford mathematician. He's very good at explaining suffering, signs in the Bible, which is this particular thing for this guy. And I came out, it was run up to Christmas, and I was approached by two Mormon missionaries. And just what you need, isn't it, after you've been in the bank. But I was elated, and I was up for it. And they came to me and they said, using the line of Christmas, even though they don't believe in the real meaning of Christmas, they said, what do you make of Christmas? What do you think Christmas is about? And I said, Christmas is about the birth of my, I've got a little baby, that's lovely, the birth of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they sort of stepped back. Perhaps nobody in Yeovil had said that to them at that point. And they said to me, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. And I said to them, knowing they weren't Christians, are you a Christian? And they said, yes, we are. And I said, no, you're not. I said, do you believe in the Trinity? Wonderful that we've been singing about the Trinity. So, again, a lack of a Trinitarian awareness of the faith of Christianity. So lovely to hear that this morning. So I said, do you believe in the Trinity? They said, no, we don't. Well, I said, you're not Christians then. And then I proceeded to tell them what a Christian was and encouraged them to read the Bible, listen to John Lennox, etc. And after 15 minutes, they left me. Usually you can't get rid of them. But they left me. The next day, we had another briefer conversation. But hopefully, particularly the younger lad, who was 19 and was English, unusually, it's usually Americans, was listening intently and praying that he read a gospel. I said, forget that rubbish, Mormonism. Go to Jesus Christ. He is the source. So, where are you going? Third and final one, how are you going? Romans 5, verse 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know. Now, this is, again, really important. It isn't stoicism, grit your teeth and get through it. It's faith. It's faith in Jesus and things that we know about Him that transform the way we approach suffering. And this has enabled me and Gloria through the period of 5 months and the whole period of 3 years, in effect. The weakest as human beings, the strongest as Christians. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces, in effect, good character and Christ-likeness. Remember that quote I gave you of Joni Erickson Tada? God is far more interested in our souls than our bodies. And she's in a wheelchair saying that for 50 years of her life. And then you'll be able to see, if you read on afterwards, verses 6 to 11, There's a phrase, how much more, how much more, how much more. God is so infinitely gracious and giving. And based on that point in verse 6, you see at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And so he makes that point. You can believe this because God sent his Son, and his Son died for you. If you are in Christ, you are secure. Preparing then for suffering and flourishing in suffering. Now, I'm really going to have to sprint to the end. I was a sprinter when I was a physical education teacher. Those of you who are a bit older will remember the term PT, physical trainer. That stands for physical torture, if you're not really into sport, which I'm into sport, as you rather gathered. But here's the conclusion of preparing for and flourishing in suffering by rock-solid confidence in Jesus, particularly with a focus on God's glory rather than on myself. That's our whole problem, isn't it? Ourselves. The more I go on, I pay less attention to my emotions. They're important. But I listen to what God says in his word. And so God grows us in Christ through stress testing. I was jogging just to prove that I am sort of, I was going to say athletic. I'm not athletic. I was jogging anyway, very slowly. And I jogged up to Heweth Primary School, which is where two of my grandsons still go. And the third one, Reuben, has moved up to secondary school. On the way to the Westlands helicopter place. And I heard, when I got to the school from their house, a terrific noise. Huge noise. And I thought, that's a helicopter. It must be very low. And so I scanned the horizon for a helicopter. I was still trying to run at the same time, trying to watch where I put my feet. Anyway, I even went up the side of the bank. I looked like this. I was like, where on earth is this helicopter? And when I got to Westlands, I went into the car park and I looked around the side and I could see down at the factory that it was coming from the factory and from the engines. It was about 12:30 on a Wednesday. Perhaps that's when they stress test the engines. They were stress testing the engine so that when it's in the flight, the engine will work and the people in there will be safe. The same is true. God is stress testing your life. If you're going through suffering, we all go through it, he said, then just remember, God is stress testing you and making you stronger, just like he made Gloria and I. Muscles are made to use. If you don't use them, you lose them. They atrophy. And so using muscles, using your spiritual muscles, is really important. So good that you're taking notes and being really focused. I'll tell you one illustration, then I will definitely stop. It's like trying to land the plane, isn't it, preacher, sometimes. I only know one great sports person, and that is Tyson Fury. I met him on the promenade. He was jogging, he was training. He trained on the promenade at Morecambe. He was the world champion, a heavyweight boxer. We exchanged books. I gave him my book, Marriages Are Made in Heaven, because he's got a good marriage, and he's sort of a Christian background, but he's not a Christian yet. And he gave me, I also gave him this book that my wife had given me for my birthday called Gloves Off, that I wanted to give as a gift to somebody. And I got him to autograph it, and I stopped him sort of midway, well, I didn't stop him, but I spoke to him as he was running past our apartment block, and I said, Tyson, I bought your book, Gloves Off. Will you sign it if I meet you at the top of Heart Attack Hill? It's the local landmark. It's a hill. And he parks his car there. He jogs down to the Midland Hotel, and then he jogs back. And then, full of sweat, he signed my book. So I not only got the signature, I got his DNA to pass on. And the reason I'm telling you this is one verse that I will read and then finish with a prayer, where Paul, who's an older man like me, is speaking to a younger man called Timothy. So here's me as an older man speaking to 13 plus people and upwards. And this is what he says in relation to what we've been talking about. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So friends, we've been thinking about preparing for and flourishing in suffering by rock-solid confidence in Jesus. So when you're suffering, you may be suffering, I'm sure there's some people here, really suffering, or you know somebody who's really suffering. Just remember that. Keep your confidence in Jesus. Keep your questions, your pain, your anguish, even your anger in the other hand, but keep in one hand, the main hand, the right hand, you keep confidence, rock-solid confidence in Jesus. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gospel, the good news of Jesus. We thank you that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose again on the third day, that he ascended into heaven, and on this Pentecost Sunday, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, so that we, in our weakness, can be filled with your strength. Whatever we're going through, whether happy or sad times, please shape us more into your likeness and help us to live for your glory and to train every day like Tyson Fury does, but to train for godliness. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.